Today on More to Life, mending fences. Trying to mend a broken relationship but not sure where to start? Let's help you get the grace-filled tools you need to rebuild. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, mending fences. We're talking about those relationships that maybe are a little strained. There's some conflict. Maybe there's some tension between you and that person, and you're not sure quite what to do about it, but it's complicating your life, and you'd like to find some answers. Well, that's what we're here for today. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, it's difficult when there's tension between us and someone else, because often the way we choose to handle it can either make it get worse and worse and worse, or handle it, clear the mess up, and actually make us stronger and closer because of it. But often we don't know what those steps are we should be taking to make it go in a positive direction. And it's a little scary to have to handle it all.
Yeah, and you know, whether we're talking about, you know, your relationship with your spouse or your younger or adult kids or somebody that you have to work with or a family member or a friend, the reality is relationships are always complicated to some degree.
They really are,
you know, I mean,
sometimes.
We were created for relationship. In fact, the theology of the body tells us that we were created for communion. And even our bodies, we'll talk about this more in just a minute, you know, cry out for healthy relationship. And we can't be healthy people physically, I mean, if we don't have healthy relationships. But that said, it's easier said than done to actually have healthy, fulfilling, happy relationships. And so whatever is getting in the way, let us help you get it out of the way. If you are having a hard time getting along with someone you care about, or at least have to deal with on a regular basis. If disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings are causing tension, if you feel like somebody's avoiding you or putting up barriers to a closer relationship, or maybe the things you've tried to do to address the problems just haven't worked out, or are even making things worse, we want to help you find those next steps toward mending fences. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, you know, we're talking about those people you care about, those people you have to be in relationship with. Sometimes it's people you don't care about, you really don't want to have to be in relationship with them, but you have to anyway. You know, those extended family members, that person that gets on your nerves in your social circle or at work, and you're just thinking, why? Why do I have to handle this? I didn't choose this relationship, but here I am. And because everybody else needs me to, I have to work this out with them. And how in the world do I do that when we're not even that close and I don't even really want to do this? Whether it's somebody that's really close to you and it's breaking your heart and you really don't know how to deal with it, or it's just those relationships that you really are called by God and the people around you to work out, let's help you connect with God's grace and some new tools so that you can really have fulfilling relationships, or at least a whole lot less conflict with those people.
We'll take that. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it help me mend fences with those people I'm having tension with? Well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of our bodies and his work through salvation history.
That's right. And as you were mentioning, Greg, we were created to live in joyful, loving, intimate communion with others. The theology of the body really emphasizes this. The need for strong, healthy relationships is hardwired into our bodies. In fact, research shows that our bodies react to strained relationships in the same way they react to a strained muscle or some other physical injury. Relationship problems actually trigger the body's inflammatory response and depress our immune systems, causing muscle and joint pain, headaches, gut problems, as well as leaving us open to other physical ailments. Our bodies are trying to remind us that God wants us to work with His grace to make our relationships as happy, healthy, and holy as we can.
You know, the good news is, relationships and the people in them don't have to be perfect to be supportive or life-giving. I mean, the fact is we all have problems. We're all sinful. We all struggle in some way. The difference, though, between a stressful relationship and a supportive one is the mutual willingness of people in the relationship to admit their own struggles and commit to both working on their own issues and helping each other grow. You know, that willingness to admit and commit is at the heart of our mutual love and responsibility that St. John Paul said was the key to healthy Christian relationships. You know, it's tempting to want to avoid working through relationship problems with the people in our lives, but the more we do it, the more we're actually building the kingdom of God by working to overcome the ways that sin tries to divide us. So, today on More to Life, we are helping you mend fences on our show titled Mending Fences. If you're trying to mend a broken or strained relationship or struggling to deal with somebody that you care about or at least have to deal with on a regular basis, let us help you find the grace-filled tools you need to overcome those obstacles to more peaceful relationships in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those people that we are struggling with, the people that we have tension or disagreements or conflicts with, the people that we care about who maybe are avoiding us or putting up roadblocks to a closer relationship. Those people that we deal with, that bring conflict and tension into our lives. We ask you, Lord, to help us to build your kingdom by responding gracefully to those challenges and finding ways to disarm the tension, to work through the problems or complications, to find ways to overcome the obstacles to greater peace and closeness in our relationships. Help us to know when it's appropriate to set boundaries, when it's time to be a little more vulnerable, and how in all situations to cooperate more effectively with your grace so that we can have the relationships that you call us to have and build the communion that is our destiny and your grace to build. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Mending Fences, as we talk about healing challenging relationships, overcoming obstacles and conflicts in relationship. If you've got somebody that you are struggling with, let us help you find the grace-filled tools you need to mend fences. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Wendy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia.
Hi, Wendy. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about my oldest daughter, who is 6 years old, and she's the oldest of four. And our second child is five, and she has Down syndrome. and I just sense a fracture in their relationship. She is verbally and physically aggressive with her. The older child, yes.
Okay.
That she will flat out say that she doesn't like her and even doesn't love her. For example, even last night in the bath, it's hard for me to take my eyes off her. I don't trust her with the child with special needs. They were in the bath together, and she's just putting soap all over her face and physically shoving her under the water to the point where it's kind of dangerous. And just things like that happen all the time. There's no kindness in her. I sense a streak of meanness.
There's no kindness in her at all, or she's struggling to be kind to the 5-year-old.
To the 5-year-old specifically. I'm not off the hook for this. I've converted to Catholicism 2 years ago, and before that, I struggle with my wrath and with anger and with impatience. And before I converted, that was our house was a little dysfunctional, to be honest. And I've really have worked on that the past 2 years since I've converted through the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And so things have been better, but I'm worried that that has really impacted my 6-year-old, and that she's picked up a lot of that from me. And so I'm struggling to find a grace-filled way to correct her and to,
God bless you. Thank you for your humility and being willing to see that.
Very courageous and beautiful of you to be able to see that you can make that change and talk about it here.
Let me ask, so how are you handling the 6-year-old's behavior now? What kinds of things do you do to try to address this, and what impact, if any, is it having?
It hasn't had any impact, my response to her. I don't know what to do. I tell her this is not okay, and I feel like I'm talking to her, and she's just completely shutting me out. And I'm like, how can we be kind to Roya? How can we, what can we do? I'm at a loss.
No, that's all right. So here's where I'd like to start. That's a perfectly fine beginning, but the reason that I don't think it's working is because, kids behave the way they do because they don't know how to express their need or meet their intentions in healthier ways, right? So my suspicion here is that your 6-year-old is frustrated by certain things that her sister does. That the 5-year-old does, and she doesn't know how to handle it in an appropriate way, that there are certain either things that the 5-year-old does or just the way the 5-year-old is because of the developmental disabilities that she has, that the 6-year-old finds irritating, and she doesn't know how to express or deal with that irritation in healthier ways. So she takes it out on the kid. And we take an approach we call discipleship discipline, which basically helps parents identify the intention behind the behavior, and then helps the parent come alongside the child and teach the child better ways to express that intention or meet that need. And so before you can kind of jump ahead to how can we be nice to your sister, which I think is an important part of the conversation, I think it's important to sit down with her and say, what is it that you're trying to do here? Mm-hmm. What is it that upset you? Let's talk about how we could handle that better. What can you say to express your frustration appropriately? How could you get my help when you need my help? Or how can you handle this situation better on your own? Let's talk about what the problem is that you're responding to, or the frustration is that you're trying to deal with, or the situation that's going on here. And let's really talk through how to handle it better. And there are some things that you're going to find that she shouldn't be handling, right, because she's not mature enough and that she should be out of the situation altogether. And other times when she needs to be getting your help, and other times when she can handle it, she just needs some coaching on what to do. Now, having had that conversation, the next thing you want to do is maybe role play it a little bit. And a lot of times, when I suggest this, parents kind of roll their eyes because it just seems a little silly. But what we're trying to do here is give the kid actual experience at succeeding at the alternative behavior when they're not under pressure, right? So when she's not being irritated by the sister, how can she behave? And so you actually role play it and help her say the words and with the right tone and do the actions in the right way that help her really get into her muscle memory what to do instead. and also how to know when it's time to get help from you because she can't handle it appropriately. So you know, you've got a beautiful heart, and I really appreciate the humility that you've shared here. You could even, you know, we talk about this, by the way, in Parenting with Grace, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, in the chapter where we talk about parenting as a healing enterprise, because, you know, God gives us the kids that we need sometimes to bring out certain things in us. And since you know, very, very graciously shared your own struggle with anger, it's okay to say to her, you know, I've kind of struggled with being irritable and angry with you guys too, and I'm really working hard to overcome that. So let's help each other be kinder to each other and be kinder to the rest of the family. So you can use that as a way of coming alongside of her and really talking through ways to handle these frustrating situations better.
Now, it's great to be able to say, how can we help each other? But there's one little tiny thing I picked up on, Wendy, that really needs to change. When you talk to her, you were using the word we. How can we be kind to your sister? You want to stop that. You want to really differentiate between I, being you, Wendy, and you, being your six-year-old daughter, so that you're addressing her behaviors. You're addressing teaching her to be kinder, but you're not making it a we in that way, that we are both struggling in this right this second. Because what the message is A, you child, have absolutely no power to change this yourself, and B, we're in it together, so we're both being unkind in this moment. You want to differentiate and say, this is how I would handle this. How do you think you can handle this in a kinder way? Really differentiating that she is her own person with her own ability to grow in her skills is going to be important, instead of kind of taking on the blame for this yourself in everything you say to her.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But again, I would say that the reason that she's been shutting down on you is because what she's hearing when you say, you know, how can you be kinder to your sister, implying, Mom doesn't care about what my feelings or my frustrations or my struggles are. Mm-hmm. So if you're able to kind of back up and say, let's talk about why you did this, or what provoked this, and what you were trying to do by behaving this way, and then let's help you find a better way to manage it, that's going to help her feel heard. Now, she'll still probably shut down a little bit at first when you try this, so don't, you know, be patient is what I'm trying to say. Because when you have established a pattern, people tend to respond to you as if you were continuing that pattern, even if you've changed. So give this a couple of weeks to work. Now, if you're stuck and you're saying, well, okay, I like the general approach, but I don't actually know what to do differently in this situation, or I don't actually know how to coach her in this, that's where Catholic Home can be really helpful. I'm going to encourage you to become part of the Catholic HOM community. Download the Catholic Home app and subscribe, because not only can you get daily coaching from our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches, it's not counseling, but it's definitely, you know, coaching and active support in answering questions about how do I handle this, or this thing came up and I don't know what to do. Plus, you get lots of creative resources to be able to live the faith at home more generously, and really lots of tips and support on raising faithful kids. Plus, you mentioned that your five-year-old has Down syndrome. We have a channel on the Catholic Home app that's moderated by the National Catholic Partnership for Disabilities. Dr. Elizabeth Potts is on there, on our Faith, Families, and Disability channel, which provides additional support for parents who have children with disabilities who would like ways to really integrate the faith into family life, especially in the face of those challenges. So I really encourage you, as a follow-up, to become part of the Catholic Home community. We'd love to meet with you there and continue the conversation. But this will get you started, and if there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here again on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Mending Fences. Are you having a hard time getting along with someone you care about? You know, are disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings causing tension? Do you feel like there's a particular person who's avoiding you or putting up barriers to a better relationship? Maybe the things you've tried to do to address the problems just aren't working, or you're even making things worse. Whatever the situation is, let us help you find the next steps toward mending fences. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this break.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I told him about the woman who came to me and said her two children hadn't spoken to each other for 2 years. Their grandma died and she was very wealthy. She left half to each one. She said they're arguing over a commode. She said it's inlaid. Can you imagine being in hell and somebody saying to you, what are you here for?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, mending fences. Are you having a hard time getting along with someone you care about? Or even if you don't care about them, you have to deal with them on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Maybe disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings are causing some tension. Maybe you feel like that person is avoiding you or putting up barriers to a better relationship and you're not sure why or what to do about it. And maybe the things you've tried to do either aren't working or making things worse. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Right now we're talking with Ori, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Ori. Welcome to More to Life. I understand you were telling our screener that you're having some struggles with your granddaughter. What's going on?
Yes. I was in the hospital, and she came to visit me, and she brought up a conversation about her divorce. And apparently I must have said things that she thought I had caused the boundaries, but I did not discover that until a week later. And she sent me a text, my daughters, my son, my friend, which really, they had nothing to do with the conversation her and I had. And so now I'm being punished by not being able to see my great-granddaughter or talk to her. And it really has affected my little great-granddaughter. Now it's led to the grandmother, because yesterday I asked my daughter, didn't the baby call you? And she said, no, she's with her mom. She's afraid to call me because she's afraid to get in trouble. So I'm doing
so
a consecration to say,
have you had a chance to apologize?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I sent a spiritual message during Advent. And I told her that I was sorry if I did anything wrong. And then I went on and spoke about, you know, spiritually. And apparently she probably never got it because she blocked me.
And so, I'm sorry, you said you apologized, but then you went on to talk about something spiritual. What did you go on to talk about? Sorry?
No. On the message where I sent her that I was sorry if I had crossed the boundaries. And then I spoke to her about that it's a time of Advent, a time of forgiveness, a time of change of heart. But I do not know if she got the message or not, because
And so now you're blocked. And so this is your granddaughter. So has your daughter spoken to you at all about what you could do to reach out to her, or is she willing to be an intermediary at all?
Yes, I talked to my daughter, and my daughter's upset, okay? But I told my daughter I don't want the relationship between her and her daughter because of me become an issue. So I have told my daughter, you know, don't say anything to her. Okay.
Well, I think that's foolish. So Ori, let me back up here. Okay. So, and I've only got a minute before they play me out, so we might continue this conversation after the break. So I'm going to ask you to hang on. But I would say, you know, even Scripture talks about where, you know, you are striving with somebody, Matthew 18, you know, when you're striving with somebody and you're having a hard time working it out yourself, then you find somebody that you both respect to serve as an intermediary, and you have a perfect person here and then the shape of your daughter. And no, I don't want your daughter to lose her relationship with her daughter because she's taking up for you. But I don't see why that would necessarily have to be the case. You know, I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with your daughter being a bit of a peacemaker here and saying, you know, either to, you know, to you, hey, you know, my daughter has said that she needs less and such from you in order to heal the relationship, or for her to say to her daughter, hey, you know, my grandma didn't mean to step in it, and maybe you could be a little bit more generous and try to understand where she's coming from and work this out with her. You know, so there's nothing wrong with asking your daughter to be in that role. So that's number one. We're going to come back to this conversation after the break, and I'll offer a few other suggestions here on where you need to go with this moving forward. But we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled Mending Fences. Are you in a difficult relationship with someone you care about? Let's talk about how to mend those fences. 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
The saints are very, very aware of us. Revelation 5 talks about the bowls of incense or the prayers of the saints. We ask them for their intercession, and they love praying for us. St. Teresa said, I'm going to spend my time in heaven doing good on earth. And the reason people are walking through this life of sainthood, you know, they start as venerable, then move to blessed, and then move, God willing, to canonization, is because they're interceding. In other words, they're taking requests to Jesus on our behalf. The prayers of intercession to the saints result in miracles, confirmed miracles that are tested exhaustively. So the church is built on solid ground when it comes to the intercession of the saints.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is the proper name for the third person of the Blessed Trinity? The Catholic Catechism tells us that the proper name is the Holy Spirit, a name the Church received from the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The term Spirit means breath, air, wind, but when joined with the word Holy, clearly designates the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Jesus, in promising to send the Holy Spirit, calls him the Paraclete, which means he who is called to one side. Another translation is the Consoler. Jesus also referred to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Truth. St. Paul used many titles: Spirit of the Promise, Spirit of Adoption, Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of God. St. Peter called him the Spirit of Glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. What does it mean for a dad to be poor in spirit? According to scripture scholars, the man who is poor in spirit is profoundly aware of his radical dependence on God. Men often struggle with this idea. Many of us have been raised to believe that it's a virtue to be self-sufficient. Boys are taught from toddlerhood that they're sissies if they ever need their moms or dads too much. This world tells us, blessed is the man who takes care of himself and minds his own affairs. But this attitude is completely contrary to the message of Jesus. In the words of Pope Francis, when the heart is rich and self-satisfied, it has no place for the Word of God. Catholic dads, do you know what it means to be radically dependent on God's help to be a great husband and father? To learn more, check out my book, Bedatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about those difficult, strained, and conflictual relationships on our show titled Mending Fences. You know, are you having a hard time getting along with someone you care about, or at least have to deal with on a regular basis? Maybe disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings are causing tensions between you and someone in your life. Perhaps you feel like there's somebody who is avoiding you or putting up barriers to a closer relationship. You know, for example, that adult kid or that family member that you care about. Maybe the things you've tried to do to address the problem just haven't worked or are even making things worse. Well, let us help you find the grace-filled tools you need to mend fences. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Ori, who called in from Texas. She's having some issues with her granddaughter, who's an adult who's going through a divorce. And when Ori was in the hospital, her granddaughter visited her and was talking a little bit about the divorce. And Ori thinks that she maybe had said some things that maybe that the granddaughter took offense to or didn't feel supported by. And so at this point, the granddaughter has blocked her on social media and texting. And she's not sure what to do. She has apologized. She reached out, especially during Advent, to try to make peace. But the granddaughter didn't respond to that. And then she shared with us that she asked her daughter, who had offered to kind of be an intermediary, not to intervene on her behalf because she didn't want her daughter to jeopardize her relationship with her granddaughter over her sake. So where we left the conversation was before that. Before the break, I suggested to Ori that she should let her daughter intervene. You know, not to the point where she risks the relationship, certainly, but there's nothing wrong with being a bit of a go-between to the degree that she could perhaps either communicate to Ori things that she might need to do to reach out to the granddaughter or communicate to the granddaughter the need to give Ori a little bit of grace in this situation. So that's number one. Go ahead and let your daughter intervene for you a little bit. Secondly, though, I appreciate where you're trying to come from in terms of giving your granddaughter a faithful perspective on things or to, you know, bring the faith into things. Based on your granddaughter's reaction to you, though, she is not finding that helpful, right? You know, we who are faithful people, okay, especially if we're parents or grandparents of kids who, you know, we're at least raised in the church, we tend to assume things about our kids and grandkids' faith development that may not be true, right? We look and we say, well, you know, I took them to church every week, or they went to church every week growing up, so they went to Catholic school.
They were raised in the church. Fill in the blank.
There's a difference between participating in faith activities and actually having a personal relationship with Christ and the church. And it does not sound, maybe I'm reading into this, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but it does not sound like your granddaughter is in that place where faith is a central part of her life. And so what starts to happen when we speak in spiritual terms to somebody who is not in that place,
especially someone who's going through a lot of pain and maybe feeling the lack of God's presence in their circumstance,
they feel preached at, and they feel like we're treating them like a project instead of a person. Again, your intention is good. You want to share Christ's love with her. You want to remind her of God's presence and even the right way of living. Those are all good intentions. But we have to be mindful of our audience. And if your granddaughter is not in that place where she is a faithful, practicing Catholic who has devotions and is trying to live a godly life, then she's going to take those comments that you've made personally and feel like you're preaching at her or judging her or criticizing her. So what do you do? You want to listen. You want to give her your heart. You know, you want to be that person that she can confide in And that, you know, as she's confiding in you, then you can say things like, you know, gosh, honey, I am so sorry that you're going through this and that you're hurting so much. I wish I could take that pain away. I'm just going to ask Jesus to bless you. Lord, please bless my granddaughter and help her know how much I love her and help her know how much you love her and guide her through this. Amen. And then change the subject, right? So it's not a big thing. You're not preaching at her. You're not lecturing her. You're not judging her. You're coming alongside of her and letting her know that your heart breaks for her. You're still bringing the faith into it in a way that very few people could possibly object to. At worst, she might roll her eyes and say, oh, there goes grandma again. But she's not going to be offended by that. And then you kind of come back to her. But I think that you're accidentally making her feel like a project and making her feel like you're preaching at her instead of actually listening to her hurt and being there in compassion with her. If you're interested in learning more about this and how you can be present to your granddaughter, assuming she lets you back into her life, I'd really encourage you to check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. Now, even though she's your granddaughter, it still would apply. The book really talks about how we can have the kinds of relationships with the adult children in our lives that allow them to be open to our mentoring, but enable us to know what they need from us so that we can attend to that instead of trying to give them a lot of things that are good, but they're not necessarily ready for or able to receive. Worry, I hope that these suggestions will be helpful for you. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program. And again, the name of that book to follow up, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Our show today is titled Mending Fences. As we talk about those relationships with the people in our life that are marked by conflict, disagreement, tension, those people who might be avoiding us or putting up barriers to a closer relationship and we're not sure why or what to do about it, relationships are complicated. And we want to help make them a little less complicated today on More to Life. Let us help you get the grace-filled tools you need to mend fences with the people in your life. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you.
An important reminder to reach out to each other with tenderness and compassion, and even to treat these offenses tenderly and compassionately. That doesn't mean that we have to tolerate abusive behavior or make excuses for hurtful actions. In fact, I'm talking about this on Catholic Home today. We do host a deeper dive discussion every week on the Catholic Home community. And if you're interested in learning more about that, you can subscribe to Catholic Home by downloading Catholic HOM, the app, and becoming part of the community. But in there, I'm talking about, you know, how do we bring things up to people in a way that they can hear? And even if somebody's been offensive to us, we can say, look, that really hurt when you did that. But I could either at that point go on and say, so don't ever talk to me like that again, you jerk.
Or some such variant.
Or I could say, you know, that really hurt when you did that. I'd like to talk about how we could handle that situation better next time so that you can say what you need to say to me without going there. And do you see the difference? You know, we're able to offer that compassionate but still firm redirection that addresses the offense, but in a way that the other person can hear and can feel like we're coming alongside of them.
I'm so glad that you're spelling that out, Craig, because often this scripture, Ephesians 4:32, where we hear, be kind, be tenderhearted, be forgiving, we interpret that in very modern, you know, secular terms, and it just kind of comes off as just let everybody get away with whatever they want to do to you. And that is certainly not the case. And I really appreciate you spelling out how that can work so that we can have a situation that is made more just and more healed and more loving without just caving into everything and being treated abusively.
All right. With that, we're checking your calls at 877 573 7825 on our show today, titled Mending Fences. If you're trying to mend a broken relationship, a relationship that's marked by conflict or tension or disagreement, let us help you find those grace-filled tools you need to rebuild. 877.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God, but not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Steve Ray here. Next year is a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
To More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Mending Fences. Are you having a hard time getting along with someone you care about, or at least have to deal with on a regular basis? If you are having disagreements, conflicts, or misunderstandings, if that person is maybe avoiding you or putting up barriers, if you're looking for ways to bridge the gap and mend those fences, give us a call. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rochelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio.
Hi, Rochelle. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm struggling with my daughter, adult daughter, with our relationship. Well, she claims there is none. She doesn't want to have a relationship with me. And she would never tell me why until 20 years later, almost 30 years later, she just told me that
How long ago did she tell you?
2 months ago.
Okay, so
3 months ago.
After.
I'm sorry.
Gotcha. And what did she say? I'm sorry.
She told me that she was molested by her stepfather, my ex-husband. She's angry because I married him, and I gave her his last name. I never knew that this was going on. She said it was going on during our courtship. Mm-hmm. She said it was going on until the duration of the marriage, which was 8 years, and that I did. She just told me this. So now it explains a lot over the years of why it was just this wall that she had with me. The family, everyone knew and could see it, but she would just never say why. So now I know this. She also is angry that I had her out of wedlock. I was a young mother a 16-year-old mother. The man that was her father that signed the birth certificate, come to find out at 8 years old that he's not her biological father. So when I married this man who molested her, that I found out, he gave me, I'm going by his advice of, well, let's tell her that I'm her father. I'm her by. So it's just,
so there's a lot of there's a lot of history and a lot of pain here, and and I'm glad she finally told you after all this time. Where what kind of contact do you have with your daughter at this point, and what can we do for you?
Yes, I do have contact with her in the sense that she said that I'm welcome to have a relationship with my granddaughter, and I do. I just actually saw them, my granddaughter, today. I picked her, or her mom picked her up this morning. But her mom just, like, doesn't speak. Like, you know, I might say hi. Sometimes she does, sometimes she doesn't. But sometimes her, my grandbaby, I feel like she picks up on that energy. And she knows that there's, like, that tension there. And it's, you know, I really, sometimes it's just hard. And I don't know. I want a relationship with my daughter. I've been all this time, all these years, I've always been, what's going on? I'm so sorry. I apologize. You know, but now I know. What I want to know is, should I leave her alone in a sense that she's already said, no, I don't want any, you know, no relationship with you. Should I just keep it, you know, just the way it is, or should I try to like woo her, court her, you know, and
sure. Well, so that's a great question, and I want to thank you for bringing that up. And it's an extraordinarily painful situation for all of you.
Yeah, truly, so much pain, so much history.
When your daughter is saying to you, I don't want to have a relationship with you, I mean, you're getting, there's some mixed signals here, right? Because if she really didn't want to have a relationship with you, she wouldn't be coming over to your house and dropping off the grandbaby, right? She, in fact, it's an incredible gift that she's letting you see your grandchild.
And that she trusts you.
So, you know, a lot of that speaks to her at least unconscious desire to have a relationship with you, that she's at kind of war with herself right now, right? And you know, having been down this road with other people, I can't say for sure what she's thinking, but I can guess that it's along these lines, you know, that you know, I don't feel safe around Mom. I'm not sure Mom really understands what I've been through and how painful this is for me. I'm not sure whether I can really trust her, but at the same time, I really want a relationship with my mom because I do love her. You know, again, the fact that she's letting you see, you know, your grandchild is remarkable in the face of this, and really does speak to kind of the long-term desire for some kind of relationship with you. When you're dealing with the extraordinary circumstances that you described, that go even beyond the abuse by, you know, your ex-husband, but, you know, questioned about her paternity and all of that, it's so painful and so extraordinary that it's really important to be getting some professional support on an ongoing basis through this. I would really encourage you to get in touch either with a local support that you are familiar with, or reach out to us if you're looking for faithful support for this, at CatholicCounselors.com, but to get somebody in here who could really work with you on healing your own wounds from this experience, knowing how to be there for your daughter, and ultimately being able to create a safe environment for her to be able to share her thoughts and feelings with you. Because it's one thing for you to say, you know, talk to me about this. It's another thing to say, you know, I've been going to counseling for the last 6 months to really work through some of these things on my own, and I would really love, when you're ready, for you to join me and be willing to maybe share some of the thoughts and feelings that you have, you know, in that place where I could really listen. Right. So I think long term that would be your best bet for trying to heal this. I would say, in response to your specific question, you want to be careful about trying to court her, as you said. That's not to say that you don't work on the relationship, but what it is, you don't want to pursue her, because the more you pursue, the more she's going to run. That said, what you want to try to do is make each exchange that you do have with her as safe and as pleasant as possible. You know, you're not pushing her to give you more than she's ready to give, but you're making her feel comfortable to be in your presence. So that could involve some degree of wooing or being friendly, but it's more about you really taking your lead from where she's at and doing what you can do to make her feel safe and cared for.
And you want to come right out and say to her, this history is awful. I didn't know that this was happening at the time. I made very, you know, difficult decisions that led to a lot of pain for both of us, and especially you. And I will do anything now to help you heal, because you don't deserve to be carrying this around. So I will do anything to help you heal. And I will be as honest with you, and I will work as hard with you as you want me to. But I'm offering that to you. That is very different than trying to be kind and trying, just even using the word wooing her, that any kind of behavior like that,
it's going to feel like grooming.
It's going to trigger her. She's already been molested by her stepfather, and I guarantee you all of that kind of behavior was used to lure her in and harm her. You want to be forthright. You want to tell her, as Greg said, you are working with a therapist to heal the situation and to learn in your life. And you will do anything she needs you to do, including going to family therapy, so that you can help her heal and you can build trust between the two of you. That's what she needs. Honesty and commitment from you to help her heal from all of this.
But I do think that if one of the next things you need to do, whether you can do this on your own or you do this after talking with a counselor about it, is to be very clear that you recognize the incredible pain that she is going through, that to acknowledge that you can't even begin to understand the degree of pain that she's in, to express your incredible sorrow for your role in it, even as inadvertent as it was, to really let her know that you've heard her and that you're willing to hear and to say to her, and as you're ready, I'm willing for you to tell me everything you need to tell me. You know, I want to be the mom you need me to be now, even though I wasn't able to be the mom you needed me to be then.
Yeah.
And I want to learn how to do that. And that's why I'm getting counseling. And that's why I'm willing to listen to whatever it is that you want to share with me whenever you're ready to share it. I'm here for you in whatever way you need me to be. And if I don't know how to be there for you, I'm going to learn. And that's got to be the message that you're sending, not just trying to kind of just superficially be nice to her and get her back, but really address the pain head on and take practical steps to address those wounds in your own life so she can see, by your example, how to appropriately respond to the pain that she's in. Rochelle, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or CatholicCounselors.com. I think our book, How to Have Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, can be helpful to you as well, because we do have chapters in that book on, you know, addressing painful situations in the family of origin and the growing up years, and how they might affect our relationship with our adult kids and how to really navigate those things. So we do offer additional guidance in having meaningful, sometimes difficult conversations with adult sons and daughters. Thank you again for the call. And in the last minute or so that we have here, just as we're talking about mending fences, it's important, as we've talked through this program, to deal with offenses in a compassionate way that does not tolerate abuse or does not make excuses for bad behavior, but that approaches that bad behavior as communication. As this person is saying to me that they're in pain. They're not saying it appropriately. They may be saying it hurtfully, but they're saying to me that they're in pain. And so if you can address that, if you can say, listen, I can see that you're hurting. What can we do about that? How can I help? How can I come alongside of you and be there for you through this? If you can work through that, then you can circle back and say, hey, look, I think we handled that pretty well after, you know, some initial missteps. Next time when you're hurting, do you think that you could come to me this way instead? Or we could handle it that way instead? Because now you have the credibility to go back and address it, as opposed to saying, don't don't ever talk to me that way if you want me to hear you. Do you see the difference? One, both allow you to address the problem, but the first way allows you to address it effectively, whereas the other one just puts up another barrier to the barrier that they're putting up. If you'd like more ways to mend fences with all the people in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.